Welcome back to the Union Edge, Labor's Talk Radio. I'm Angela Bachman here with Brittany Sheets.
Hello, everyone. Thank you so much for tuning in and joining us today. And a special thank you to NEFI and the Pittsburgh Federation of Teachers Local 400 for all of your support. We really appreciate it.
And also, if you wanted to find out more about us or hear a podcast, you can check us out online at theunionedge.com.
And joining us right now, we've got Executive Director of Generation Progress, Maggie Thompson. Maggie, welcome back.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thanks for joining us. We're excited. We haven't had you in a while. It's been a long time.
I know. Well, it's good to come back. It's been a great week for us. We've been fighting back.
Well, good. I'm excited. So what have we been fighting back about?
Yeah, well, you know, I know that a lot of people may have seen the University of Phoenix in the news in the last couple of weeks. University of Phoenix is a company that owns several for-profit colleges and online college programs across the country. And they also, despite the fact they don't have any sports teams, had paid a few years ago $154 million to have the naming rights to the Cardinals Stadium in Arizona.
That is ridiculous.
Yes, it's completely ridiculous. And, you know, for the last year and a half, ever since 2 years ago, the Super Bowl was played in the Cardinals Stadium. And folks might remember that just a couple weeks ago, March Madness, the Final Four was in the University of Phoenix Stadium. And we have just been hammering on this because we think it's such an important example of how for-profit colleges, many of them, are spending more money on advertising and marketing than they are in the classroom on teaching or, help for students to get through school. So this to us was just a $154 million symbol of what was going wrong with for-profit colleges. We launched a campaign targeting the NCAA. And, you know, people across the country sent thousands of emails to the Board of Governors of the NCAA asking them to disassociate their schools with this predatory company, the University of Phoenix. And just a couple days ago, it was announced that Phoenix is now pulling out of this deal for the naming rights 9 years early. And they said, in their statement that they want to put the money back in the classroom, which I don't know if they actually will, but it's very clear that this was a case where people speaking up about how schools should act made a big difference. So this was a big victory for us after about a year and a half of pushing on this school.
Is there any way we can see if there's going to be any increases to their advertising budget for other endeavors?
Yeah, you know, it's hard. So with schools like this, one of the biggest issues is that they're publicly traded companies. So it's not as if it's a state university where there's a board of regents that is accountable to the public. So really a lot of the ways that people are able to hold companies like University of Phoenix accountable is through information that they're giving to their investors through filings, with the SEC and things like that. So it's really, you know, we are very much of the opinion that schools should not be run like businesses because, you know, even if they're started with the best intentions, if a place like University of Phoenix is a company before it's a school, they're going to be really beholden to their investors more than to their students. And that is something that just really creates a perverse incentive and, you know, means that, you know, there are so many students getting sucked in by the flashy advertising of University of Phoenix who aren't able to finish. They're incredibly expensive compared to community colleges, and their graduation rates are terrible. They're incredibly low. I think we were looking at some of the cities where the Final Four teams were coming from, and the University of Phoenix campuses in those places had graduation rates that were as low as 6%.
I can believe it. Back whenever I was in middle school, my mom had decided that she wanted to go back to school and get at least an associate's degree just because of it was becoming increasingly harder for her to get a good job and move up within the job that she had because she didn't have a degree. She just was in a position when she was growing up, wasn't able to go to college or even community college after school, went straight into the workforce, worked for a long time.
That was pretty common then.
Yeah, exactly. This was,
totally.
Yeah, this was back in like the 70s. That was pretty common. So she was like, you know what? I think it's time that I want to set a good example. I want to get my associate's degree to help further myself. And she was also doing it to kind of set an example to me and my sister to basically back
That's
up
so
and preach
right.
the point that it's really important to get a degree. doesn't matter where you, like, I mean, it matters where you get it, but the fact that you want to get it, like, go to community college, something of that nature. But at that time, this was long before a lot of this information was out about these very predatory for-profit schools. And where she started out was the University of Phoenix, thinking, oh, this is, it's online, but I also have some classes. I can go to a campus. I'm going to go, like, in the evenings. Like, my dad could stay home with me and my sister, because we still weren't quite old enough to, like, leave us free rein all evening by ourselves. And, I mean, I was in, like, seventh grade. A little bit's okay, but...
You're run wild.
Yeah, it's like, don't leave the seventh grader to watch the fifth grader all night. That just spells
seems
doom
like
all
idea.
Over it.
Yeah, sure.
But anyways, so, but that was the thing. She thought she was doing better for herself by going to the University of Phoenix, only to eventually, after like two semesters, was like, I can't do this. It's just the teachers were just not very, very equipped to teach the classes. They really weren't there. The individuals in the classes, like, they were, it was all group work. It was very misunderstanding group work. I remember her just being really frustrated and getting upset because she felt like she wasn't doing well, and there wasn't really much to help you. Like, she would ask questions.
Absolutely.
She would talk to the teachers. The teachers had no idea. Sometimes the classmates knew more than the teachers did. People were just randomly just up and just stopped coming to class. And after two semesters of it, she was like, I'm not sinking any more money into this school because this is a terrible idea. And I don't understand how people even graduate from this because it is so stressful and it is so hard to get through. And I'm in an intro English class. I'm like, yeah.
And they're still doing this.
Around. No, absolutely. And, you know, we hear stories all the time of people, you know, whose instructors maybe don't know the class that they're supposed to be teaching or are playing YouTube videos to teach people skills.
Mm-hmm.
And it's... What's so pernicious about this is that these schools are preying on the aspirations of people like your mom, and it's terrible because right now we do have a knowledge economy, and we do need people getting those vocational degrees, going back to school, making our workforce competitive, and I think that companies like Phoenix are able to sort of use the aspirations of individuals and also the fact that we do need vocational training in this country to put forward with flashy advertising a really subpar product. And it's, I say product because we refer to them as a company and not a school because that's how they operate.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that this is something that we feel really strongly about, that these schools need to be held to account for whether or not they're delivering what they're promising to their students. And really whether or not people are getting the skills that they need for the degrees that they're pursuing.
I definitely agree. And these are very misleading schools in the way that they, like, they promise, we'll have a job for you after graduation and this and that. And I think we've definitely seen in the past, like, 5 years or so, I want to say, some huge leaps and bounds as far as educating people in how predatory these schools are. And the fact that we've seen, Everest went down, ITT Tech.
And all their schools, yeah.
Yeah, and it's just,
biotech, yep.
They finally were exposed for what they were really doing. And when people started looking into, like, the numbers, they realized that, you know, they weren't producing very good graduation rates. They were hanging people high and dry.
I mean, even their name is deceptive, right? The University of Phoenix makes it sound like it's a state school, and it's not. And if you look at their logo and the font that they use and the way that they present themselves, it makes it look like a state school. It makes it look like it's legitimate, and it's not at all.
Oh, absolutely. And because they're spending... This really comes back to a lot of that advertising dollars, but because these schools are spending money on recruiters and advertisers and flashy websites, it is so easy for students to go to a University of Phoenix website and then go to the website of their local community college. And a lot of times, the sleeker, more flashy, more professional-looking website is probably going to be from the for-profit college. And that the reason for that is that really these schools are investing in that recruitment and that outward marketing and advertising much more than they are in quality in the classroom. Whereas at a community college, the dollars that a community college receives are really going into teaching and instruction and resources for students. And I think that one of the things, just thinking about a lot of the students we work with, and I don't know if this was something that your mom felt, is that, you know, so many people that sort of get sucked in by these marketing schemes and go to these schools, if they aren't able to finish or if they struggle or if they don't get the job that they were trying to get and they default on their loans, we talk to so many students that blame themselves and don't realize that they're just one of tens of thousands of people in this country that have been taken advantage of by these schools. And really, it's a systematic scam, and people shouldn't feel bad. You know, I have people in my family that have been sucked in by a for-profit college. I think it's really all about us sort of banding together to really make these schools accountable, whether that's regulations at the federal level or the state level.
Oh, I 100% agree.
That's actually really sad that people are blaming themselves and actually they're just the victim of this giant scam.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely. And it's so many, you know, so many first generation college students who maybe don't have people in their family that they can look to for an understanding of what a college experience should be like.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's a huge barrier for a first generation student to get into a college environment and really not just excel, but feel like they belong. And that's something that is true sort of across different sectors in higher ed. And I think that for these companies to be taking advantage of that is just really, it's awful. We got to stop them.
Wow. Having lived this, I don't think I could have put it into any better words than you just did. That is the nail on the head right there. And unfortunately, we are out of time. But real quick, if people want to get more involved with things at Generation Progress and find out other projects you guys are working on, what's your website?
We are at genprogress.org, genprogress.org.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Maggie. We're going to have to get you back. There is no end of things we should be talking about involving for-profit colleges. Thanks again.
Thanks so much.
That was Maggie Thompson, the Executive Director of Generation Progress. I'm Brittany Sheets here with Angela Bachman, and you've been listening to The Union Edge, Labor's Talk Radio.